About Life Radio Network with Dan Cornish, discussing the complexities and struggles of day-to-day life in today's society. About Life Radio Network.
Hello and good evening, everyone. Excuse me. Welcome. I'm going to talk to a friend of mine, Scott Patton. Hello, Scott. You there?
Hey, Dan. How are you doing?
I'm tired, man, but I'm doing okay. How about you?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be good. Here.
Good. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. This evening, we're going to talk a little bit about fibromyalgia, hoping that's one of your expertise because that's kind of new to me. I'm learning about it. I have CRPS, so kind of know a little bit about fibro. So we'll start off the scene. What exactly is fibromyalgia? I mean, I know what does it affect the most? The nerves, it's a lot like CRPS to me. Am I being wrong in saying that?
I'm not sure I know what CRPS is.
Well, complex regional pain syndrome.
Oh, okay. So in other words, you're in pain all the time.
Right. Pretty much. Yep. It's to do with the nervous system.
Yeah. Fibromyalgia is very similar to that. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think human beings love labeling it. Everything, right? You know, I think in the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. God told Adam, name the animals, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we just continue doing that. So it's kind of like, you know, I have this sore in my finger. I have a sore in my, you know, I have pain in my knee. I have a pain in my toe. We can't just say you've got pain. We have to say, oh, you've got toenitis, or we give everything all these names. And I really, you know, personally think it doesn't help. We have a fibromyalgia support group. You're a member of it. And there's about 30,000 other unfortunate people that are members of it. And constantly it's like, you know, do I have fibromyalgia? You know, I have pain in my shoulder, or I have pain. It's like, if you're in pain, to me, you're in pain and there's something really wrong. And and it's kind of like, well, maybe I don't have fibromyalgia. Maybe I have some other thing. And it's like, but it's not like, you know, when you have a headache and you took an aspirin, right? I have a headache. Great. I'll take an aspirin. And the aspirin made the pain go away and then we were fine. And to me, this is like you've got a headache in your whole body and nobody knows why and nobody knows what you can do about it.
Right.
And so we go around labeling. Now, so when it comes to fibromyalgia in particular, what they say is there are certain points of your body, like just above your shoulders, where if you push down and you're in pain, then you have fibromyalgia. And it's kind of like, so what's the difference between the person that's got a pain in their shoulder and the person that's got a pain in their hip?
Right.
I don't know, right? Nobody knows, right? And the other problem with things like fibromyalgia is, like, our medical system is so used to having, I call them markers, right? Like, they'll take a sample of your blood, and if you've got this in it and that in it, and this is the level it's supposed to be, then you have this disease or you have that disease, right? We've been really, really good at being able to pinpoint things like cancer and heart disease and all these other infectious diseases.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have something like fibromyalgia, and I'm sure you're the same, Dan, you go to the doctor, they do a blood test, it's fine. And unfortunately, they are so dependent. It's changing slowly, but they've been so dependent on testing your blood, and your blood tells us. It's kind of like the guys that can look in your eyes and tell you what you're, you know, what's wrong with you, right? You know, they're so good at it. They're so dependent on it that when something happens that doesn't fit, you're okay. Right. So the biggest problem a lot of our members have is, we did the blood test. Everything came back fine. It must be in your head. You're all right. And of course, that's not true.
Right. Because I know with the CRPS, it makes your the neuropathy, which I know that fibro has in their legs, like from the knees down to their feet and swell and kind of discolor and stuff. I've heard people talk about that. See, CRPS does the same exact thing. So first thing they did was say, oh, you got diabetes. Oh, I went through all these tests. Everything was negative, you know. And then they put me on the gabapentin for the neuropathy. And then it started swelling even worse and this and that. So, you know, I mean, I know they – I'm with you when you say a lot of these disorders kind of run hand in hand to me. I mean, it's like they are throwing a label on them because – there's so many of them that are so much alike. And some people don't want to, you know, admit to that, which I'm glad that you do. You're with me on it, you know. A lot of people want to say one's worse than the other. Look, we can't say one's worse than the other. We don't really know which one is the worst. But whichever one they label the worst, I guess, is the worst one.
Well, you know? Right. And, you know, I'm sure when you were growing up, you skinned your knee. Right. And or stubbed your toe. And then, you know, and you stubbed your toe and it was like, ow. And then your buddy stubbed his toe and he's like hopping all over the place having a fit. Right.
Right.
And you're like, what's the problem? And of course, you don't know if he kicked it a lot harder than you did. And you don't know if he's more sensitive than you are. And I think this is another problem people have is like, oh, man, like Jane could be really, really sensitive. And Joanne, she could hit her over the head with a 2x4 and she wouldn't notice, right? Like our pain thresholds are very, very different. And I think one of the things that happens with the people that I've come into contact with fiber who have fibromyalgia or are part of that group, because I don't want to just narrow it to fibromyalgia. Like that's our label, but it could be all sorts of other types of pain symptoms that we call other things. They seem to be way more sensitive to their bodies, and that translates to pain than the normal population. And I don't know if that's a genetic thing, if that's hypersensitive nerves that are caused by, you know, pollutants or you know, bad eating habits or drinking too much or drug use, or, I mean, we have no clue why, you know, I think we have no clue as to the specifics of it. I think we have good ideas as to the general underlying issues, right? I think if I was to go through them, I would say, you know, there's a lot of people who are depressed, you know, that's not fibromyalgia. I mean, if you're in pain all the time, there's a good chance that you're depressed because you're in pain all the time, right?
Right.
And that's, I would think, is kind of normal. But, you know, a lot of times people are depressed and there's a lot of emotional stuff that they haven't dealt with. Like they really should see a therapist and they should clear out their stuff. I spent a lot of years clearing out emotional crap in my past and in, you know, and just, I mean, just things that happen in life that I took the wrong way or misinterpreted and didn't help me. And, you know, so we know that a lot of times when people are really emotionally upset and everything else, that affects us. I know that if I get out of balance emotionally, I have a cold, right? Like, because all of a sudden there's cold germs. Oh yeah. The food germs. Yeah. Scott's all upset. I can't wait to go and just wreck havoc in his body. Right. You know, so we have this spiritual, emotional aspect of it. And then we also have the nutritional aspect of it. Like the diet, like my friend Martin Patella calls it, you know, malnutrition. We're getting lots of calories, but we're not getting a lot of really good nutrition. So if you're in a body that's becoming more and more obese, but it's malnourished, that's a real problem, right?
Sure.
And then
I've seen that. I've seen y'all's video. I like that. And it's true. It's true. And you know, speaking of diets, there's several of them out there, but the gluten-free diet is it's rough. But it's what we make of it. You know, we can make it work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not nothing that no one can do. You can do it. You just really have to put your mind to it because you don't lose, you gain, but you lose a lot of the foods that you're accustomed to eating, if that makes sense. You lose a lot of the good stuff. But there's many ways of of, you know, making your own stuff. I have a lady that has lupus. She makes a lot of her own foods and stuff, and she does really well on the gluten-free diet. And she's, you know, a lot of people swear that it helps the pain, and I'm here to tell you, if you try it for, you know, like a week or so, like y'all said, you, some people, I can really get off the gluten really heavy for 2 or 3 days, and I feel a difference. But
yeah,
most people it takes a week or 2 weeks or a little bit longer. But some people can feel it right away, but the longer you go, the better you feel. And I've kind of fell backwards, and now I'm working my way back to where I was with the gluten-free diet. A lot of people don't want to understand it. I talk a lot about diet and proper eating. It does help a lot with the pain, a lot.
It does. And
it doesn't, well, you know, Martin, it doesn't. Go ahead.
I was going to say, my friend Martin went to Italy. And, mm-hmm. of course, Italy has, like, gluten is in bread, pasta, you know, that's those sort of things, carbs. And
right.
Our wheat has changed a lot over the last 75 to 100 years. And in Italy, they made a law that you had to – the only wheat you could use in bread and pasta – was the same wheat that the Romans used. Like, it's been 10,000 years, it's the same wheat, right? And he can't eat bread and pasta in Canada and the United States, but when he was over there, of course, they have these beautiful breads, pizzas and pastas and everything else. So he thought, oh, I know I'm going to regret it in the morning, but I'm going to eat this stuff. And he had no problem. So,
really?
You know, we've when you look at wheat, we've increased the amount of gluten a lot in our wheat today versus 50 years ago or 75 years ago. And I think that's part of the problem, right? Is we're not getting the wheat that we used to have, which we had no problem. We're getting a wheat that's been bred to be high in gluten, and that's causing a problem.
Sure. Yeah, it's definitely – I know my wife was talking about the other day. Well, actually, I was talking to my doctor about it, and she said something about the wheat bread is not – you know, it's just as bad now as the regular bread. So we went to some other kind of bread offhand. I don't remember what it is offhand. I call it birdseed bread because it has all the little seeds around the crust of it. It's not bad bread. It's actually healthy for you, but, you know, I don't like – I like wheat bread and white bread. You know, that's the kind of breads I like, but. She was telling me about it. So
right.
I didn't know about the wheat bread was that bad for you. I thought it was better for you, but you're right. It's really not something I just learned recently.
I look for the one that's called ancient grains, which is supposed to be like spelt and stuff from the, you know, when the Egyptians pharaohs were around. And I have no idea if it's any better or worse than the regular bread. And I can't say that I notice any difference between the two. So, But it's just kind of funny what happens when you start thinking, well, you know, I want to eat Italian bread and, you know, it's our wheat. So, I mean, it's really no different.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do know that gluten-free does make us feel a lot better. And I try to push that as much as I can with the people that follow me and listen to me. And I'm glad to run into you like I have and see that you're, you know, kind of doing the same thing. It makes me feel like, hey, okay, I must be doing something right, you know, because there's so many things out here, you know. We talk about different treatments for pain and this and that. There's a couple things that really stick out in my mind, and I do, and it really helps me a lot with my pain, and that's, you know, the gluten-free diet is as best as you can do. Some type of meditation, something to, you know, to cleanse your mind. Like you're talking about, even talking to a therapist if you have to, you know, listening to soft music. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can do as chronic pain patients to help control our pain. Now, it doesn't cure it, but it does help with it. And at this point in time, that's what we're all trying to look for. Most of us are, is some type of relief, because it's just, oh man, being in constant pain is no fun, and I know how people feel when they say it. It's not fun, but we just have to get the community to realize that we got a lot of different choices that we have to make. You know, so
we have a lifestyle. Like, people talk about fibromyalgia or you know, the chronic pains that people have as disease. And it maybe it's a modern disease, you know, but when I think of disease, I think of a bunch of germs doing something that I don't want them to do in my body. And that's really not what fibromyalgia is. I really think it's a lifestyle illness that or the result of a lifestyle. And it's unfortunate that most of us can do very little about the lifestyle because we live in North America and this is the way it is, right?
Right.
And there's kind of three parts to it. One is we're way too toxic, so our body is fighting to get rid of heavy metals or pollutants or things that it doesn't know what it should do with because it's never seen it before. You know, we're inventing all these amazing things. And then we have the malnutrition that I talked about, and you mentioned. Then we have kind of the energetic stress and drama, emotional upheavals that are going on. And then we have the stagnation, which is, of course, we're sitting around watching TV. We're sitting around in traffic. We're not really, you know, when we were coming out of Africa, we were walking tens of miles a day, you know, looking for berries and fruits and roots and stuff like that, or running from saber-toothed tigers, and we're not doing any of those things. So we were kind of built a certain way, and then we were placed into cubicles to do our work. And of course, we're artificial light. We're not, you know, it's artificial air in terms of it's being reprocessed and recycled and air conditioned and all the rest of it. And so we're not at all living the way we were sort of designed to live. And then it's kind of like, well, why are you surprised that you're breaking down? Because you're not living the way you were live. And so we need to, you know, look at. And the problem with things like toxins is it could be, oh, I got this really nice carpet, but unfortunately those fibers are getting into the air and getting into your lungs and causing a problem, right? So, or the paint was really cheap paint and you didn't know and it's got lead or something, or you have asbestos. I mean, there's all these things that it used to be you just put a bunch of branches together and that was your, your tent, and or you put cotton over the branches and you had a tent. And that was the way it was. So, you know, you kind of have that side of it. Then you have the what do you eat? And that's another problem. I mean, the gluten is one issue. But the other issue is like, where did your ancestors come from? Were they like from the tropics where they had and by the water where they had fresh fish and they had coconuts and pineapples? Or were they from the northern climates where they, you know, had a higher fat, you know, I don't know, they got caribou and they ate that or you know, something, right? And of course, when you look at like the people in the South Pacific, that's where the biggest obesity in the, you know, those countries, and they're very, very small islands, but they have the highest percentage of obese people in the world. And of course, they weren't. Like if you go back 100 years, they were, you know, those handsome, fit islanders, and they were, you know, in their canoes going from island to island and fishing and happy and paradise. Sure. We all have that picture in our head. And now they're fat. Well, you know, Coca-Cola, Old Dutch, and bread came to town, McDonald's, and they started on the diet we had, and like that was the result. So, you know, you really have to look at certain types of foods, and I think the easiest way to do it is to realize that what you eat takes 3 or 4 hours to really impact you. So if you sit down for lunch and you eat a lot of bread, for example, and then at 3 o'clock you're basically collapsed in a coma having a snooze, then that bread made you very alkaline, because that's, you know, the more kind of laid back you are, the more alkaline you are. When you're acidic, you're, you know, the road rage guy who for some reason is just mad at the world, you know, he's too acidic. So some people can eat the bread and they get energized. Some people eat the bread and they go to sleep. I go to sleep. Like I'll have a slice of bread and an hour later I'm laying on the couch having a snooze.
Taking a snooze,
You know, so we have different types of, well, metabolic types, right? So for me, if I'm eating a steak, I'm like ready and raring to go, full of energy. And somebody else might eat the steak and be like I was with the bread, sitting on the couch, sound asleep. And
well, I do, because I usually I usually eat too much steak, so that kind of puts me to sleep at that point. So yeah, I kind of fall in that category. But no, I get what you're saying, and you're right. It does. I'm the same way. If I eat something that's more or less toxic to my body, my body doesn't react very well to it. It will cause the pain to get worse. It will cause me to be more lazier than what I was. I mean, I'm only limited on things I can do, but I can't exercise a little bit. I mean, I think most of us, unless we're wheelchair bound, can find a little bit of time in our day to do a little bit of exercise. It doesn't really take a whole lot, honestly.
If you walked around the block, mm-hmm. you would be amazed at how much of an improvement that would make.
Yeah, and over a period of time.
We don't do when we are stagnant, when we're not moving around, our lymph system is not getting moved around. So there's more toxins that our lymph system is supposed to remove that aren't being removed, which is mm-hmm. a real problem. And there was a person in the fibromyalgia support group, it's a Facebook group, that asked if, does fibromyalgia get worse? And I said, I hate being pessimistic, but nothing gets better. Like as we grow older and older and older, we at 60, you don't do the things you were doing at 20. And as a 60-year-old, I can really appreciate that. But if you don't work at it, then it's definitely going to get worse. And it's kind of like the windshield on your car, right? If you don't clean it, after a year, you won't be able to see through it. And our body is the same thing. Like I have a problem with my knees. And if I don't do some stretches and some different exercises for my knees, and I forget for a couple of days and I don't, then I go mm-hmm. for a walk and it's like, oh, like my knees are not feeling very good. But when I do work on it, and because this is a part of this is like, where do you need to work on your body, right? I need to work on my knees. I need to stretch them out. I need to squat, and I can't squat. So I really need to be careful and kind of get down there and stretch them out. And then when I do and I go for a walk, it's like, wow, like this is a great walk. If I don't and I go for a walk, it's like, oh, my God, like my knees feel like they're just ready to fall apart on me. And it's not a very good feeling, right?
No, so it's not.
We need to have the discipline. We first of all need to have the insight and the, be able to look at ourselves and figure it out. And then we need to have the discipline to say, okay, this is what I need to do on an ongoing basis. Yeah, I love Coca-Cola, but the fructose, glucose in the Coca-Cola or the aspartame in the Coca-Cola Zero, I hate to pick on Coca-Cola, but these are things that are not good for me. I decided they're not good for me, so I need to have the discipline not to have it. And it's really hard because sugar is the most addictive substance in the world. It's worse than heroin and pain and all the rest of it. So, maybe you need help, right? But you need to sort of decide what you need to do to change in your life. And then you need to, work on your family and your friends, getting them on board to support you in it. And that can be really, really hard. Oh, you could be with somebody or your family, they love bread, and you're like, well, if I have bread, it's really not good for me. I'm going to be in pain, but it's really hard when everyone's eating bread not to eat bread, right? So this is kind of the balance that we need to work on. And it's hard. Like a lot of times people, they come to us and they say, my significant other doesn't understand, and they don't want to not eat this, and they don't understand that if they eat it and I'm there, I want to eat it, but then it's really bad for me and I'm in bed for 2 days afterwards.
That's the caregivers, which is what I call them, the family and friends and caregivers of people in chronic pain. They have a lot to learn, and it's very hard for them. And my family's, I'm very fortunate. My family, they take very good care of me, and they make sure that I get what I need at doctors or whatever the case may be. A lot of people are unfortunate. They don't have those people in their lives. And that's the people that I'm trying to reach out to, and let them know, like what things we're talking about right now, these things do work, and you can do it on your own. You don't, to me, it would be easier to do it by myself as it would with wife and kids that don't want to eat that way, if that makes sense. I mean,
yeah,
I know it's not fun being alone, and I'm not saying that, but you know, you think about it, you got young adults and a wife that you have to teach. She's an Italian, so she loves to cook pasta. So, you know, I have to teach her, hey, I can't be eating that kind of stuff, you know. So to me, if I was by myself, I think it would be a little bit easier, but it is a lot to put on the caregivers and the family and friends. It's hard for them to grasp it because they don't see it kind of like we do. And I say we, the people in chronic pain do, because I see it, and I've talked to my wife about it, and I see it a lot different than she does because it helps me with my pain. Her, she doesn't really have pain. So you know what I'm saying? She doesn't really see what a big difference it makes. She understands it. She just doesn't see it like I do. And that's the part that's hard. You got to explain that to these people. And they're like, you're crazy. You're like, no, I'm really not. I promise you.
Hit on a really big point, Dan. And that is, it's very hard for other people to understand what other people are going through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's very hard.
In my previous life, I managed a grocery store, and we had a pharmacy in it. And you just reminded me of a story. The pharmacy manager came up to me one day, and he said, "You see that lady over there?" And I said, "Yeah." And she was, you know, maybe about 27, 30-ish. And she had two little girls who would be around 4 or 7. Mm-hmm. And she just looked like the ideal mom, right? The kids were doing what kids do, and she was happy, and she was watching them, and they were getting their groceries. And I said, "Yeah, I see her." And he says, "Well, she fills a prescription every couple weeks." And I go, "Okay." And he says, "If we, the prescription stops pain, okay, and the amount of pain that subscription stops tells me that if you and I were feeling the pain that she is feeling, we would be laying on the floor in a fetal position." Okay. So in other words, she's in huge pain and that we cannot even imagine. Right. And he says, you would not be able to function on these drugs.
Right.
Okay. I go, "Wow, like really?" And he says, "Yeah." So she doesn't take the prescription medication very often. Okay. Not never. And so he says, finally, I had to ask her. I says, "Like, you must be in just incredible pain." And she says, "Yes, I am." And he said, "Well, so first of all, what happened?" And she says, "Well, when I was 6 or 7, I was climbing in a tree, fell out of the tree, broke my neck, but nobody knew. And so when the bone healed, it healed around the nerve, pinched the nerve. So I was in all this pain when I was growing up, and nobody knew why. Nobody knew anything about it. And finally they did tests and they did x-rays and they figured out this is what had happened." And so she says, "So they can operate, but there's a 50-50 chance that they will cut the nerve when they operate, and I will be a paraplegic and unable to walk for the rest of my life."
Wow.
So she says, "I'm not going to do that. So I can't take the operation." Then she says, "If I take the drug, I'll be a zombie and I won't be able to look after my children. And I want to look after my children." So she says, "I had no choice. I had to just take the pain and sort of stick it in the back of my brain somewhere and ignore it so that I could live my life." And she says, "My husband comes home and he'll sort of see how I'm doing and I'll see how I'm doing." And I said, "I might take some then, and I'll definitely take some before I go to bed. So I'll get a good night's sleep, or I'll get sleep." I don't know that you get a good night's sleep. Right. And it just blew my mind on how, you know, like that is kind of like Bruce Lee or some Tibetan monk master, you know, meditation thing, to be able to just take that amount of pain and put it to the side because these children are way more important. This is way more important.
Right.
And I've always felt really inspired by her, and she probably has no idea I even know this, right?
Yeah, that's good way of putting it, man. It really is, because some of these people really have tremendous pain, and myself, I'm trying to come off the pain medication and doing the gluten-free stuff, and I also have a nerve stimulator. I don't know if you're familiar with those. They're for chronic pain, and I'm getting ready to switch over to a different brand, because the one I have puts out like the shockwave, you know, like a TENS unit, but a lot stronger.
Oh yeah.
The one I'm going to get doesn't have that tingling sensation. It just takes away the pain. So yeah, I'm not big on pain medicine either, but there's times that I have to take it. I mean, it just gets so intense, but I try to do a lot of other things, to help with the pain besides taking the medication. I'm not against it. I know what it can do to your body, and I don't like that. I don't.
Right. Well, and what we see in our group is, mm-hmm. a lot of people are on pain medications, and then the side effect of the medication becomes almost worse than the pain that they were on, or the discomfort, mm-hmm. that they had, or the tired. I mean, when you were talking about, like, what is fibromyalgia, either it's pain in your body, but it's also your brain doesn't work very well. And it's also, I can't sleep because I'm in pain. And it's, there's a number of other things that a lot of people talk about, and some of it maybe is related to other problems that they have, and some of it could be related to the fibromyalgia.
Sure. Yeah, it's hard to tell. It really is hard to tell which is which and where it's coming from. I mean, I get pains all in my body at different times, and I'm like, well, these feels like pins and needles, so that's, it could be the CRPS. And I could have Lyme disease, lupus, and fibro, and CRPS all together. I mean, this goes back to what you were saying earlier. For CRPS, I know there's no particular test for CRPS. Some people say they can do it with a deep bone scan. I don't believe that. They do it more by a nerve conduction test, study test. That tells them a little bit. It tells them there's a problem in a certain area, and they can kind of root it out to them. Like me, they got mine with the different skin texture, the discoloration, the swelling, the nail growth, the hair growth. That's how they determine my CRPS. So, yeah.
Well, and like I said, with fibro, you push certain muscles and they're sore, and then they say, yeah, you've got fibro. But
yeah, see, that's kind of scary.
What does that mean?
Yeah, it's kind of scary when you go thinking about that kind of stuff. Well, how'd you get diagnosed? And somebody told me that, and I'd be like, huh? What kind of doctor did you
exactly.
see? So yeah,
and usually the doctor will say you're fine for 6 months before he'll finally give you the diagnosis. And the third most popular drug, I was looking at the top 10 pharmaceutical drugs a couple months ago, and number three was a fibromyalgia drug.
Right.
I don't remember the name. It just shocked me. I thought, wow, like, so this is, this is big business for the pharmaceutical companies. It's a lot of people going in to see the doctor, and nobody knows what the, really what it is, or how it's caused, or what to do about it.
Right. I've talked about this on shows before. I took a break there for a few months, last year. And it's a good business for doctors and pharmacies. I mean, somebody asked me, well, how come they don't have a cure? I'm thinking, well, think about it. If they come up with a cure for any of these disorders, it'd probably cure most of them out there, honestly, in my personal opinion. But big pharmacy is going to lose way too much money. So you know how much money they would have to pay just to have a cure if they did do that? I mean, think about it. You're going to put big pharmacy out of work. You're going to put doctors out of work. That ain't going to happen. not in this country.
No. No.
So, I mean,
which is too bad.
I believe
all that brilliance and research and everything else should be going to, on to other things, and let's just get rid of cancer and heart disease and fibromyalgia and move on. But
right.
I think the reason, like, doctors, the medical system is really good at emergencies,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, if you fall out of a tree and break your arm, oh my God, I want a doctor like right there, right? Emergency. Yeah. They're going to fix it. And they're going to, you know, you have a heart attack or you need, you have some problem with your heart. They're going to open up your chest. They're going to fix it, right? When it comes to like just living day to day without an emergency, but not living maybe to the potential that you have as a human being, they're not so good at it, right? Because they haven't really studied the nutrition. They haven't really studied. They've studied how to fix a broken arm and how to fix a heart and how to do brain surgery, all those things. But they really haven't figured out, you know, how to lose weight. You know? Don't eat exercise more. That's the extent of it, right? And so I think if and unfortunately, because they are so good at fixing broken legs and heart transplants and that sort of stuff, we assume and demand unfairly that they be able to fix our lifestyle choices. Right. So for 50 years, I've been smoking and I've been drinking too much. I've been, you know, popping heroin into, you know, snorting coke and all, you know, all of these, staying up too late, not exercising. And now, you know, my heart's no good. I want you to fix everything. And of course, they can give me a heart or they can put a stent in or whatever, but they can't. And and that nobody's, you know, pushing for, you know, sort of the healthy lifestyles. And and I think that that's where we need as a population to say, you know what, this is your role. We appreciate you doing this. This other stuff I need to figure out. And so then we need to look at our politicians, because they're the ones that make rules and regulations. And it's like, and then we need to look at our researchers and say, you need to look at, you know, what is in our water, what is in our air, what is in our homes, what is in our food, right?
Right.
And and how does that impact what we do, right? Like, there was a guy who did a documentary, and all he did, he ate every meal for a month or 2 months or 6 months, I forget how long it was, at McDonald's.
Right.
And so he went to his doctor and said, okay, do all the blood tests. And then every week he went back to the doctor. And after a month, the doctor said, please stop going to McDonald's, because your all of these indicators are going off the charts bad, right? He was he wanted to prove that McDonald's was not good to eat at. And he did. He got fat. He got unhealthy. He got all this stuff. And the doctors were like, you're going to have a heart attack if you don't stop. Right. And he went 2 months or 3 months or whatever, and he did his documentary. So we need to be looking. I think as a society, we need to say, look, we have autism. That's one out of every 30 or 50 kids, when 100 years ago was, I don't even think it was known what it was. Like, there could have been 10 people in the world having it, sort of thing. That's not genetic. That's has to do with our environment. We have all this diabetes going. We have all this cancer. We have all of these, I don't know, is it heart disease or cancer? I was at something, and the guy says, some conference, and the guy said, look at the person beside you. Look at the person on the other side of you. One of you won't be here next year. That's how much cancer, or one of you will have cancer next year or something. Like, this is how bad it is. And, or heart attacks, I forget which one it was. So these are not, I'm falling out of a tree, breaking my leg problems. These are not, I'd made a split second wrong decision and I ran into a car and now I need you to fix my broken leg. These are all long-term lifestyle things that come from the way we've eaten for 30 years, what we've drank for 30 years, what we've breathed for 30 years, how much exercise we've done for 30 years, how much stress we've had for 30 years. Like, we just had an election in the United States that I think stressed out everybody in the whole world. Forget about just the poor people living in the United States, right? So we have this drama, we have this stress, we have these wars. And so the combination of all of those things causes you pain, causes or gives somebody else cancer, or you know, because I think there's a bunch of us that we've got this pain. We call it fibromyalgia. We call it this, the CPRS thing that you've got. We give it all these. Then I think other people react differently, and they get the heart attacks, or they get the cancer, or they get diabetes. And so it's kind of like we have this foundation that is, it's a system that is set mm-hmm. up to make us ill, because then they can give us drugs. We can go see the doctor. We can all these things. And so we need to figure out how to change the system so that it creates healthy, happy human beings instead of depressed, broken down human beings.
Right, right. I totally agree. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, it all goes right back to the doctors and big pharmacists. it's true. I mean, they would go without the chronic pain patients, quote unquote, they would go broke. It's sad. It really is sad that this country, and it has, it's taken a big turn many, many years ago. And it's just, it's not getting any better in the medical field as far as I'm concerned. There's, you know, when you can go into a doctor and they push on your neck, like you said, or your shoulder, oh, you got fibro. That's not a real good way to tell somebody that they have a chronic illness that is not going to go away.
That's right. No cure.
I mean, I just, so we do, we have to take care of ourselves the best that we can. And, you know, like we've talked about, coming up, you know, the 50 to 100 years ago to now, you know, McDonald's and all these other fast food restaurants, and they keep popping them up everywhere because they're making a killing off of us. They are making an absolute killing. And I'm guilty of eating at them, too. I ain't going to say, well, I don't eat McDonald's. I eat McDonald's, and I'm trying to get away from that kind of stuff because I know it's not healthy for me in many ways, not just with chronic pain, just in general, it's not healthy for me.
Yeah.
And
one of the things.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'll let you go.
Oh, okay. I was going to wait for you. we've sort of talked a little bit about, some pretty depressing things, and I think mm-hmm. there is hope. And one of the things that I've been doing for the last 8 years, which I really like, is yoga. It's actually hot yoga because the body, when we sweat, the body naturally releases a lot of tension, and sweating is a way of getting rid of toxins. So one of the reasons I like hot yoga is for 90 minutes, I just perspire and create a little lake in my corner of the room. but also it's a quiet time. So therefore, you have that relaxing, the letting go of stress and drama and that sort of stuff. And then the yoga itself is a lot of stretching. So that when you stretch your muscles, you're releasing a lot of tension as well. And you're strengthening, right? Like the core of the body gets really, really strong. So I find that, you know, two or three or four times a week going to yoga is really helpful. So I think if I was to get a DVD, put it in my TV and play it, I wouldn't get the benefit of it. I think that human beings are social beings, and we get a lot more benefit out of doing things together than we do alone. Not that there aren't things that we shouldn't do alone or can't do alone or don't want to do alone, but I think for me, what I find is when I go to the group, then the other people in the group kind of inspire me to go a little bit harder. I also don't slack off, because I would definitely not touch my toes if I was alone, you know, but I'm in a group and I'm like, okay, I'm going to, I do the touching of your toes. So I think the key to find activities that you enjoy doing and that your family or your friends enjoy doing that you can do on kind of an ongoing basis, as opposed to, you know, going home, sitting and watching TV. And I think that sort of thing where you can find something that really relaxes your mind, relaxes your body, does some stretching, gets you perspiring a little bit, is really helpful. The other thing is there's been a lot of talk about medical marijuana, and I personally have never smoked pot. I have no intention of smoking pot. And that's a I don't care if you smoke it sort of thing. Like, I don't have any judgment around it. But
right.
I'm the sort of person that I have a hard enough time keeping both feet on the ground, you know,
right.
And I just think if I have puff, I'm going to go out into the stratosphere and never come back. And so I don't want to do that. But
right.
hemp and cannabis plants have more than just the stuff that gets you high in it.
Right.
And one of those, you know, the stuff that gets you high is THC. I don't know what it
right.
stands for. It's a big one. Strange word. And
yeah.
CBD is another set of molecules in there or substance in there that is mm-hmm. very good at pain relief and
right.
relaxing the body. And so one of the things that I like doing and really find helps me a lot is having a couple drops of the CBD oil, put it under my tongue, swish it around my mouth,
right.
swallow it, have a glass. Water, it kind of tastes burnt. Some of it tastes burnt. Some of it just tastes like oil. I mean, it's not like eating an ice cream by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
But I really, you know, so I think that there are things that we can do to proactively deal with the pain. And in the group, there's quite a few people that have, unfortunately, you know, when people in the group do something and it works and they don't feel so much pain, they kind of leave the group and they don't often mm-hmm. say, you know, this is what I did. But recently a number of people have said, oh, you know, I've been taking this CBD oil for the last few weeks and it really helps my pain, really helps my tiredness, makes me sleep better, those sort
right.
of things. And I find the same thing. And there
mm-hmm.
are herbalists that come up with different concoctions and combinations of herbs that
right.
also work with fibromyalgia and work with pain that we've come across that we really like. And then the third thing is enzymes. And all
mm-hmm.
of the chemical reactions in our bodies start off with an enzyme or a
mm-hmm.
combination of enzymes in it. Can't happen without the enzymes. And if you're eating McDonald's, they'll just keep picking on them, or drinking Coca-Cola, or a lot of processed foods, there are
mm-hmm.
no enzymes. So anything that's cooked has no enzymes, okay? So you can have a raw carrot out of your garden full of enzymes. You scrape
mm-hmm.
all the dirt off, throw it in a boiling water for a few minutes until it's cooked, and now there are no enzymes. So how much food are you eating that's living food? If it's not,
right.
you know, like a lettuce, a salad, you know, even nuts are, because we're just against life, I think. You know, we pasteurize our milk, kills all the enzymes. We flash heat the
mm-hmm.
carrot juice that's in the produce department, kills all the enzymes. So
right.
it's very hard to get these enzymes. And once you're about 26 or 7, your
mm-hmm.
body starts using up its store of enzymes. Okay.
Right.
So if our body isn't doing all the work it's supposed to be doing because it's low on enzymes, then, of course, we're going to be cranky and
right.
painful.
This
stuff isn't going to be working properly. So I kind of think those three areas, you know, in terms of just supplementing or adding to what you're consuming in terms of food can be really helpful.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know much about marijuana. I've smoked it back in the day. I ain't going to lie. That's been many years ago. But I don't know. Just from what I've heard, that they take the THC out and they're using that ODD or CBD, whatever it is you said,
CBD.
Is what they're using in medical marijuana, from what I understand. At least here in Florida, I believe that's what they're doing. Because they're taking the THC out of it, or taking the majority of it out, so people don't get high off of it.
I don't think that's the case. I think everyone's excited about medical marijuana because in addition to helping it, they're going to get a high.
Yeah,
but I could be wrong
because
I don't pay attention to the medical marijuana as much as the CBD oil.
Yeah, no, I don't either. I just think they are. I mean, it's good. It's a good possibility. That's just what I've heard. You know, again, I don't know how true it is. So people listen, don't go crazy, anything. You know, you can't get high. I don't know if you can or not, and I'm not interested in getting high. I'm just interested in keeping my pain level down and living the most
right.
comfortable days that I can live, you know. I know it's not going to be back like it was when I was 20. I'm 50 now, so I've done went past those years, and I'm okay with that. I just want to keep my pain under control. You know, that's what I want to
right.
do. And I think that's what a lot yeah. of people want to do, really. Some
sure.
people are seeking the other stuff, but not too many, I don't think. I think most people are looking for answers. And this community has gotten, I don't know how long you've had your group. You've had, 4 or 5 years, I believe? Something like that?
It's coming up to 3 years.
Okay.
So it's
you've had yours about,
grown very quickly in a short period of time.
Yeah, you've had yours about as long as I've had mine. I've had mine since 2013, so my CRPS group. But it's not just CRPS. It's all of them. It's all of them combined like yours is. CRPS is what I have, so that's what I put the group as. But
right.
You know, most of the people in my group, that they've been with me from day one, and they just want better, less pain. And we talk about a lot of different
yeah.
things, you know, a lot of different things. And I'm glad that I found you. I'm glad to be associated with you. I'm glad to have you
me
on
too.
Tonight. You've helped a lot, and I do appreciate that. Because I feel a lot like you do in a lot of ways. It's just, you know, finding them kind of people out here is kind of hard because everybody doesn't believe that some of the things that we believe in. And I believe it's
mm-hmm.
true. I mean, I've tried it myself, so I'm talking from experience. I know it's like medication and other treatments. It's not going to work the same for everybody. Okay, I get that, but it's going to make a difference. I've even had my wife go on the gluten-free diet, and she felt better. So, I mean, it even works without pain, too. So, I mean, you know, and that's what we're talking from experience, and that's what we need to be doing to people. It's talking from experience. People need to listen and, you know, try different things, if that makes sense. Find out what works best for you. That's how I feel about
it. That's right. And we're all individuals, so what mm-hmm. may work for someone will not necessarily work for the next person. And that's the other thing that's really hard, right? This is why
mm-hmm.
some of these diets will, you know, oh, this works really well, and I love it, and you'll do great, and then you can't stand it. Or someone does great on it and somebody else dies on it. I mean, those sort of things happen too, unfortunately.
Right.
And
right.
And it's just because we're all individuals, and like we just don't know
mm-hmm.
what, you know, we need to learn how to look after ourselves is what we really need to
sure.
do. And
sure.
we have to stop going to the doctors and saying, you need to fix me, because they can't. And
right.
You know, I mean, when you talk to a doctor, they say, what am I supposed to do? This lady comes in, she's in pain, she's upset, she's this, she's that. I look at her like there's really nothing I can do, but she won't go until I give her something. So mm-hmm. I write a prescription out for this, and I know it'll help a little bit with the pain, but the chances are side effects are going to be worse than the pain. And,
sure.
You know, they're in a totally no-win situation in these cases. It's like, oh, you have to fix this person's in distress. You have to fix them. Well, if it was a broken arm, no problem. But if
right.
it's some of these other things that are lifestyle, you know, if you break an arm in a second and 3 or 4 months later, you're fine. You spend 30 years screwing up your body. Your doctor's not going to fix it in
yeah.
3 weeks.
Right. What's one thing I like about my doctor? He told me, because look, he knows about what he can know about the disorders. And he knows about some of them. And he told me, because there's really nothing I can do. Because the only thing I can do is treat the symptoms. And he goes, that's not curing it. He goes, that's all we have available to us. Because my job is to try to keep you as comfortable as I can and less pain as possible, without giving you too much medication. Basically, is what he told me.
Right.
So I got props to the doctor. He was honest about it. He didn't
lie.
That
was great.
You know,
he was right on.
You don't see that or hear that very often. You know, you really don't. That is, oh, I can fix you here. Here, take these 8 prescriptions, and hopefully I'll see you next month. Yeah, no. My doctor was honest about it, man. And I'm on a mild pain medication. it's every 12 hours, long acting, and I have short acting as well, but I don't take it that often. I rely on my nerve stimulator more than anything. So I try to stay off of that stuff because I know it's not good for you. I've seen what it's done to some friends and family, and God, I don't wish that on no one. So I hope people take.
Oh, that's right.
You know, I hope people take a lot from the show tonight. I do. Again, I appreciate you being on. Been very, very helpful for me.
Give me a lot of insight
on things. Briefly, do you want? It's up to you. We got time. It's just up to you. I didn't know if you was about ready to call it a day because it's still early where you're at. do you want to? Do you want to go into a little bit about what you do? You know, around the community. I mean, I know you, I've seen you do quite a few different things. I'm trying to keep up with all of them. Too much going on for me, man.
Well, I work closely with Martin Batella at www.life-enthusiast.com. And we sell a lot of health supplements and that sort of stuff. And Martin is a health coach. And I've kind of learned by osmosis working the last 10, 11, 12 years with Martin, his philosophy of health and everything else. And he had a lot of problems with mercury and mercury fillings in his teeth that caused him to experience a lot of chronic pain and disability. And he finally was able to detoxify himself, get the mercury pretty much out to the point where he could, you know, not be sick and not be in a wheelchair, that sort of thing.
Right.
And so a few years ago, we were thinking, let's start a group on fibromyalgia because we had a page that was really active. And we thought, wow, like we could probably support people in the group a little bit more. And, you know, and that's kind of what we've done there. I actually spend a lot of my time in terms of work on building websites and podcasting and teaching people how to do online courses and that sort of thing. But
yeah,
the pain is just
today.
Sort of. Oh, okay.
I seen it somewhere today. I don't know where I seen it. Somewhere I stumbled on it somewhere. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'm getting back into it. So I took some time away, but I'm coming back slowly but surely. It's what I do to give back to the community, to help the community. You know, guests on like yourself and others, and give them as much information as I can give them. And it's up to them. I mean, you know as well as I do, it's up to each individual. All we can do is give them the information and hope that they make the turn, you know. What are some of the, I guess, the pages or website that you have? I think I've seen, maybe it was a Facebook page that I've seen today about some of the stuff that you're selling.
Well, www.life-enthusiast.com is the best place to go.
Okay.
And what I would recommend people do that go there, you know, there's lots of articles, there's lots of information, there's lots of different products for different things. But really, to call the number and talk to Martin, and he'll be able to really help you a lot with whatever's going on with you. And he'll be able to make some good recommendations. And he's not a... high-powered salesman or anything like that. He's a health coach, and he's very, very good at what he does. And he happens to have a site where what's kind of interesting with Martin is he's become one of the few people who can actually sell health products online. And a lot of times there are lots of people who I describe them this way, and it's probably true for some, but not the most of them. It's kind of like they're out in the woods and they've got a shed in the back and they're in there for 12 hours at a time making stuff and putting together, a little root of this and a little something of that. And they come up with something and then it results in very, very good health for people that have that problem. Right. Or people that, you know, they're tired and all of a sudden they're energetic or whatever. These are people that are working on things This is their passion. They're not salespeople by any stretch of the imagination. And so
right.
they come up with this product. They say, this is amazing. It's got tremendous results, but I can't sell it. And so someone will say, well, call Martin. And then they'll call Martin. Martin will do his due diligence, and he'll add it to his product, and he'll promote it. And the next thing you know, these people are actually selling their product. They're happy that they're selling their product. And some of them have been with him for 20 or 30 years. We just interviewed
wow.
one herbalist that said, yeah, like when you go to my site and you want to order my products that are on my site, the link mm-hmm. takes you to Martin's site, because I have been working with Martin for so long, and I just trust him to look after, you know, the distribution and selling and everything else. So I just put a link to my products that goes to his site, right? That's the relationship that he has with a lot of these people.
Right.
So, so these aren't, you know, the multinational pharmaceutical companies that decide they want to come up with a natural supplement and put it out on the market. These
right.
are people who are intensely interested in one little itty bitty area, whether it's herbs or it's, you know,
right.
it's colloidal silver or it's a certain herb or whatever. And
right.
they've worked with it and worked with it. And then they, you know, people, the reason, of course, is people around them are sick or they have a problem. And then
uh-huh.
they have the solution and they
right.
give it to them. And
right.
we do have a product there called Fibrenza, which is specifically
mm-hmm.
for people who have fibromyalgia. And the manufacturers, we interviewed him. Look, we have a podcast and a YouTube channel,
mm-hmm.
so we interview
mm-hmm.
our manufacturers a lot. And sometimes we can't use the interview because the people are just so – they're just not communicators. They're just not presenters.
Right.
They're scientists or whatever, engineers.
Right, right.
But, you know, the people that made the Fibrenza say, yeah, like we're just amazed that the people that have fibromyalgia that take this. Now, a lot of people
right.
think they have fibromyalgia and they don't, and then they take it
right.
and they don't get a great result. They get a good result. But the people mm-hmm. that have got the typical fibromyalgia, you know, that really helps with the fibrin in the muscles and causes the pain to really release.
Sure, sure.
So that's kind of what we do.
Okay.
Okay. When we're not looking after the fibromyalgia support group.
Yeah, that's quite a bit. That keeps you pretty busy right there. It's about 30,000 people in it. I know, I click
yeah.
in, I'm like, oh, wow, I'm here with all these people. Yeah, that's a large number of people. It's one of the bigger groups.
And every once in a while, somebody posts something that just gets everybody wanting to comment on it.
Hell yeah.
They,
yeah.
Whoa.
And, yeah, they like,
and what? When you have 30,000 people, you have people that have totally opposite opinions. And so
oh,
the
yeah.
question is, how do you be respectful of both sides of a of where there's never, ever going to be a compromise, right?
Right. Yeah. Mm. When I see comments like that, I tend to leave them alone because I don't want to step on somebody's
yes.
toes. You know, I mean, I've got my opinion and my beliefs just like you do and everybody else does, and we're entitled to that, but some people kind of get offensive. So, yeah, I kind of leave those remarks alone. I'll bypass that post completely. Some people say, well, you posted on, you commented on, yeah, well, I didn't want to comment on that one because I knew that was not going to be a pretty outcome. So I just left my comments alone. So, yeah, but feel free to share their stuff, man, on my page if you want. You send me that link to the or the website or whatever if you want, if you will, and I will I'll share it with you.
I'll do that for sure, Dan.
I'll
thank
share
you very
it
much.
With you. Yes, sir. Well, I'm going to call it an evening, my friend. I'm going to go eat dinner. It's 8 o'clock. I'm getting hungry.
Awesome. Well,
and
thank
I promise
you for having
you.
Me on the show, Dan. I appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome, man. And you're welcome. And I hope to talk to you soon, man.
I'd love that.
All right. Take care, Scott. Good luck, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye. All right, everyone. We are calling it an evening. That's a wrap up. That was a good interview with Scott Patton. I do appreciate his time and effort on air tonight. We was going to go a little bit longer, but I got to go eat, and I promise you it's not going to be gluten-free, which I need to get on that diet. So, everyone, have a great evening, and we'll